You're listening to KDNK's Public Affairs Program for Land's Sake. I'm Bill Kite, your host. Today we have a local guest. I'll let her introduce herself.
Geneviève Joël Vieux-Missard.
There you go. I knew if I tried that, though I've known her for years, I would get it really fouled up, so thank you. What we're going to talk about today is sense of place and placemaking. They are different in some respects. In some respects, they are similar. But sense of place has always been, for me, just a sort of given. Whenever I did field work, whenever I went across the Colorado Plateau, it was always feeling like that was my home. And I think if really you want a definition for sense of place, it really is what the emotions and what the environment around us and the senses tell us is really home. And home isn't about where you were born, but it's how you create home. And the word homeland is really kind of puts that in a different perspective as well. But Geneviève, what's your definition of sense of place? What does it mean to you?
To me, sense of place, I just from knowing you as a friend, I can understand how your studies of the Native Americans would influence very heavily how you feel sense of place. As for me, my sense of place arises out of just my history, how I grew up, and the fact that we traveled and lived all over the United States, and that exposure at a really young age, exposing me to so many different kinds of landscapes, whether it was oceans or Midwestern streams and forests or the Arizona desert, or even something as big and complex as the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. So sense of place for me, yes, it is how the physical environment affects me, the emotions that it evokes, and the thoughts and feelings that I have. And I like your concept around homeland. That's beautiful.
Well, thank you. Sense of place can also turn into sacred space, because things happen on a piece of land that thereafter is always considered sacred because in hallowed ground. Gettysburg is a good example of that. We visit a place and we have that feeling that's conveyed there that there was something really either terribly tragic that happened here or something very otherworldly that happened that we create our own sacred space, too, by assigning to places that really are special and unique to us that characteristic. Without revealing where this place is for you, what place would that be that you really feel is sacred that you like to go back and visit?
If I were to answer that in a quick way, I'd probably be flip, and I would say any kind of a forest, like any kind of a forest where a tree trunk dives into the earth and there's that really grounding energy and its branches reach up into the sky and there's that kind of reaching out to the cosmic energy. But I just actually wrote about this in a paper from last semester, Nature Writing, and the sacred place for me is actually more of a sacred sensation that I can find anywhere. And there's something about the blessing of light and warmth on my face. If I can experience that, no matter where I'm at, I know that I'm home, and that is my sacred place.
So really, there's a lot of senses that are involved, the hearing, taste, the seeing, the feeling with the skin, just feeling the wind sometimes on your skin, and smelling certain smells. Like I remember smelling the pinyon juniper forest and cutting the wood when I was cutting wood for a living and not making a living doing it. And that special place then when the pinyon burns, all that brings back memories for me of what New Mexico is all about. And these special places then create emotions and thoughts and trigger an action. We either want to preserve that feeling with a photograph, or we want to make sure that nobody comes along and destroys that, which can easily happen. So what actions have you participated in trying to save a sacred place or a place that really means something to you? Have you done that where you're trying
like
to?
Here in town. I've lived in so many cities, actually small towns. There seems to be this just little magic thing that's happened in our family history here in the United States. My dad's a first-generation immigrant from Colombia, and he and my mom moved here from Europe. And most of the places that I have memory of living in were kind of like Carbondale, where we got to live there for a year or two just before it started to explode. So the London Bridge in Lake Havasu was really amazing. Lake Havasu, believe it or not, I hear it's either like the Daytona Beach of the West or the porn capital of the United States. But when we were there, it was like Carbondale. And it was, I mean, parades were just incredible. You saw your teachers, you saw your friends from school. And Iowa City was going through its renaissance when we lived there. And Iowa City is what I've always compared Carbondale to. And when I realized what a place Carbondale was, as a landscape designer and a storyteller, and understanding that our landscapes do tell stories, which is sense of place, as a landscape designer, I've always tried to use my skills to preserve this place and to really honor its history from before and who we are now, and kind of hopefully guide the direction that we hope this town to move into. I mean, change is inevitable. But like Amy always says with Carbondale Arts, we can make choices about that. We can be very deliberate, for lack of a better word, control the direction that it goes. And this, to me, this town, this is why I have a tattoo of Carbondale and a heart, a biological heart on my arm. This is my sacred place. I've discovered who I am here and grown into who I am here. So everything I do is to save the beautiful qualities about this place.
The word magic comes to mind, and it's overused, and it's going to mean different things to everyone that's listening. But a place like Carbondale's magic to me, I can't always describe why. You just described why for you. And the fear for me is that we will lose that somewhere down the road. And you talk to some people, oh, we've already lost it, because I remember when the roads weren't paved and the cattle went down the middle of the street. The cattle still go down the middle of the street, but it's those memories where we shut off the, okay, that's it. That's where my memory of that place ends. I'm leaving because it's not that anymore. And that's too bad, because it's only through a collaborative process that we're going to shape our public places to really maximize the shared value, and viewing a place in its entirety is what's hard to do for all of us, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. We all have this little tiny portal of how we view it, but it needs to be a collective view, because it is a collective. It's a community.
It is a community, and public places, to now getting into to place making, are always changing, and really the reason placemaking is so important, just like sense of place is that great public spaces, and I borrowed this, are where celebrations are held. Like even social and economic exchanges take place. Friends run into each other and cultures mix. And that happens in Carbondale. You know, it really does a lot. And I like this phrase. Again, it's not my original thought, but they're like the front porches of our public institutions. And I like that. Give me a story about that, or a place that resonates with you.
You just described our main street for me. There's so much familiarity, and most of us know all the business owners by first name. You know, we know the people at the post office. We know people at City Market. A good example of that is when Juniper and I, we go on walkabouts, or we hop on our bikes and we go for rides and tool around town. And as we make that turn onto Main Street, I can't tell you how many times she's just like taken a Pollyanna deep breath and grinned up at me and just been like, "Mommy, I love our town," or "Mommy, I love this street." it has such a strong sense of place, and that's been created by so many people. That's that placemaking that you reference.
Right, and part of that, I think, it has to do with why the soil was right for planning this community as an art community recognized. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Colorado is a very special mm-hmm. place, and it does tend to draw those of us who we consider ourselves artists in one way or another, whether it's mm-hmm. by word or by picture or by singing and all the other ways that we create art.
It is often creativity that has the biggest impact on how a place grows and evolves. And I can use Fort Collins as an example of that. When I was going to school there in the early 90s, it was still a very cute hippie town. And in the years that I was landscaping my way through college, we almost doubled the size of that community. And the north end of town, the original end of town, is where all of the creativity really happens. And that's where the heart and soul of Fort Collins is. And the south end is where it all exploded and mushroomed with townhouses and apartment complexes and HOAs with dead-end cul-de-sacs. And that definitely is thriving economically, but it doesn't have the soul that the north end of town has. And it's all about creativity.
And I know for sure that Fort Collins took some special effort to make the alleyways creative.
It's incredible.
And, isn't it? I mean, I've seen pictures. I've got to go there next time I go to Fort Collins.
Longmont is the same way. They've taken their alleyways off of their main drag, and they've turned them into pedestrian spaces with tables and art and murals. They're brick paved so that the water can percolate through and the plants and trees can still grow in the alleyways. It's incredible.
Yeah, how you can just take something common, ordinary, and that most people don't want to walk by mm-hmm. is an alley mm-hmm. because usually that's where the trash bins are. Mm-hmm. But to take that and convert it into your placemaking, but you're also creating a sense of space mm-hmm. because, like here in Carbondale on Main Street, I love the two places available for downtown dining mm-hmm. in the summertime are just, they're great. I love that, you know. right on Main Street, you can sit there and have a good meal, either at Allegria or Fat Thai
yeah. and Batch. They have their
batch
that
right.
they bring out,
yep.
And then obviously there are the patios as well.
But really, that whole idea, I think, of Carbondale being an art community, it's lively, and I think that liveliness then blends over to other aspects of our lives, where that we can actually be more collaborative in how we make decisions about land use. Mm-hmm. And I think placemaking is just a term that's come to use because, like in urban settings, it's very important. We talk about mm-hmm. Fort Collins. Even huge, large cities can very easily make sense of place into something that's negative, you know, where that energy is negative, a ghetto, a place that's just gone downhill. But a lot of those kinds of places can also be renovated and revitalized if people come together mm-hmm. with a common goal to do something about the fact that that's derelict now. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what could be done.
And you know, and it's one of the things that I've also been learning in school, and I see happen in Carbondale a lot, is in that collaborative process, figuring out who are all the people that are going to be impacted by this. And how does it affect their lives? And how can we bring them all together to figure out solutions to the problems?
Right, because everybody has an attachment to places, and it's different.
And that's why they're called stakeholders.
Right, that's a term I think that turns a lot of people off. All it means is someone's just invested in what you're doing.
That they care, yeah.
That they care, yeah. And I think that's part of also sense of place is you care about a place enough that it becomes special and unique mm-hmm. to you, and you go back. I do that in the desert at Rat. I've got still in me of going to places I really like, San Rafael Swell, Canyonlands, all that mm-hmm. country. Because when I went there the first time, I left part of me there, and I think mm-hmm. that's part of what sense of place is about, mm-hmm. that connection with the soul mm-hmm. that go ahead. Tell us
about
that.
That connection with the soul. So I'm chuckling inside because I'm remembering school, and I had two very different experiences of how we were taught to study and observe the space around us. And one of them, one was I learned just design and design concepts and how to use natural materials to create an outdoor space. And in that traditional route, you see the results around us. We see a lot of really unsustainable public spaces that aren't very alive. And then at the same time that I was going to school, as landscapers, we worked our ass. We worked hard. And so every three-day weekend that we had a chance, we were gone. We were going backpacking, and we were going to the high country. And to get out of town and to lose myself in those high alpine forests, to go climbing, and instead of looking at a bird's eye view on CAD or a 24 by 36 piece of paper, to have that bird's eye view from the top of Lumpy's Ridge or an El Dorado Canyon or something like that, I just got to see all of these beautiful natural patterns. And to me, that's what influenced most how I design. And talk about soulful connection. Those outdoor and backcountry experiences that I had, I tried so desperately. I mean, I have sketchbooks still, drawings in the desert and drawings from backpack trips and photographs studying how rocks tumbled in a drainage or how plants collect where water runs. And I used to apply all of those techniques to my landscape design. And to this day, you know, one of the reasons why those places were so precious to me in the backcountry is because I couldn't find anything like that in town. Not even a park where it's Kentucky bluegrass from curb to curb, all the way up to a tree trunk and all the way up to the mulch surrounding a swing set. In my practice as a landscape designer for 25 years, I have done everything I can in my meager little pile of power to bring those qualities that we love literally to death in public lands, to bring those into the urban environment. And I think one of the reasons why I chose Western CU for my graduate studies in environmental management is because they were the first university that had the audacity to use the word soul when they were describing their programming in wildness. And so, I mean, that's what I've been trying to do my whole career, is to bring soul back to the built environment.
You're listening to Katie and Kay's Public Affairs Program for Landsake, and we are talking about sense of place and placemaking. What happens when a favorite place, a really special place to yours, gets changed beyond recognition? What can you come up with a time that's happened for you?
Grief.
You grieve that
change. You grieve that loss because that was a part of you, you know? And then when it's changed so radically, for example, when I was doing a lot of bouldering and climbing, there was no road along the reservoir, Horsetooth Reservoir. You used to have to park and hike in a bunch of miles. And then when they brought in that road, the places that we used to boulder and have all to ourselves, we would go there every day after work, and we'd have our chalk bag and our dogs and our friends in a six-pack. We would have that whole thing to ourselves. And next thing you know, there's bathrooms and parking lots and an asphalt road, and there's McDonald's and condoms and beer cans, and, you know, you grieve.
You do, and I can imagine, because I've been observer of this with the native people I worked with, where a sacred site was desecrated so much that it no longer means anything to the native people that it did before. And I think that's something that once it disappears is sort of like a species that goes extinct. Once that connection that has been made with people either worshiping there or recognizing the pool of that place, that it is special, once that's desecrated, you don't ever get it back. And I think that's something to think about in all of our land actions that we do is, whether it's on public land or in our towns, you know, it's so easy to change a place so much that it's not recognizable by you anymore and it doesn't hold that special character.
In the time that you were friends with Clifford, did he ever share a story like that with you of a place around here?
Well, we had a site that was that way, and it was really sad because a bathroom was going to be placed there on public land, and although that was stopped at the time, it didn't matter because the site got desecrated anyway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, an offering is made there, and it's sort of like a goodbye. You're saying goodbye when you do that, and unless you're involved with something like that, it's really hard to describe like it is for me right now and exactly what that means when a sacred place is taken away. I was in Washington, D.C. on a special team with the Forest Service, and we were listening in the hearings there on the mountain in Arizona that was going to be desecrated by putting the remains of your gray water, it's called, of people where they wash their hands and do things like that, and to the natives, to the Hopi people especially, that was going to desecrate that particular sacred mountain forever. And the decision was made to go ahead with the project, a ski area project. And again, that's unless you can understand how somebody's perception of a place makes it that special, even a mountain like that, that then it's really difficult for me to explain what sacred space is and involving that sense of place that's so really important to a culture that it's usually reserved for just going to and worshiping. And so I think if you have a special place, you know, guard it carefully because you can't make some of nature's places better, but we certainly can make some of the places that we live in better. That benefits everybody, and that's the goal without desecrating the landscape.
We can create new stories for those places that we want to improve in our, like, mankind's developed areas. But right. It's really hard to improve upon nature.
It is, but we do have the man-made environment, the landscape. I've always thought of that as the land has this cape over it that we put as humans, and that landscape can alter it so much, like some of the mining sites we have here in Colorado, that's still the impacts environmentally are still being felt. Lots of money being spent on some of these places to try to bring them back to where they should be. And some places you can bring back, but some it's really hard to reestablish what was there before.
Mm-hmm. Especially when certain, for example, weeds come in. I know that's a boring segue, but they're such an important part of consideration for the landscape. And, for example, brome grass is just the king of the planet. It's going to win, or thistle or something like that. But those are things that we can try to address and can tackle to improve those man-made environments.
Sense of place, to me, still coming back to Bonedale, what makes it different from other towns that you've lived in that makes it special to you?
Truly, the people, you know? I mean, we all walk around with our cameras, and I'm one of those people that walks around with my camera, and I'm constantly photographing these cool, funky things where I'm like, oh my God, that's so Carbondale. And it's the fact that there's so much diversity. And it hasn't been completely homogenized by, you know, Dwell Magazine or no. there's still a lot of funkiness and grit here. And tell me the question again.
What makes it really special to you? The people,
yeah,
you said.
The people. Yeah. I feel like because we're small enough, and I mean, we can't really get too big, so we're not ever going to become a huge city just because we're limited by, you know, the valley floor. But in a small town, if you have a good idea and it supports the community will support you. And so this is a place where you can really make a big difference. And it doesn't matter who you are or how much money you have. If it's in the interest of the community, you can do it. And that's a beautiful thing.
It certainly is, isn't it? you know, trying to foster a sense of authentic human attachment and belonging to a place is what each of us can do in our own special way.
Beautiful.